You're listening to local and regional news on KMUN 91.9 FM. I'm Skylar Butenchen. It's Wednesday, October 8th. In today's news, a story from our news partner NWPB on how immigration policy changes are affecting farm worker families in the Northwest. And a candidates' forum held last week on the Long Beach Peninsula featured different views for the future of both the Port of Peninsula and the Port of Ilwaco. These and other stories are up next. You're listening to KMUN. A new program to help people pay their utility bills in Astoria is officially accepting applications. At a meeting this week, the Astoria City Council approved the Utility Bill Assistance Pilot Program, which will be administered in partnership with Clatsop Community Action. Approval is based on income. The pilot program builds on an existing assistance program, but aims to provide more consistent aid. Over the next 6 months, the city hopes to collect more information about who is looking for regular assistance with those bills and iron out how a permanent program might work. KMUN's Katie Frankowitz spoke with Ryan Quigley about the city's earlier program and the new pilot program. Quigley is the assistant to Astoria City Manager Scott Spence and had a big part in developing the pilot program. The following interview has been edited for length.
Earlier this year, while they were figuring out the city's budget, the Astoria City Council asked city staff to look at ways to adjust an existing utility bill assistance program and improve and update that program, especially in light of increases to rates in recent years. Ryan, the previous program was meant as an emergency stopgap and could only be utilized by a person a few times a year. Could you tell us more about that?
Exactly like you said, it was break glass in case of an emergency. It was if you were an income qualified individual, you'd be able to once every 6 months or twice a year reach out to our finance department. It was an in-house program that we did and just say like, you know, I'm really struggling to pay my bill this month. And, you know, is there some assistance we could provide? We had a criteria that was established when we started this program back in 2014. So it had been a while since we had updated this. You know, that is what we had been using to help provide assistance for individuals.
My understanding is that not a lot of people were using that original program. Is that correct?
You're correct. It was not used very often. Within the last 2 years, it was less than $1,000 had been pulled out of through this program. So it really was very used, very minorly, and was just, like I said, for those in case of emergency events for people.
And now with this new pilot program, it's a pilot program, not a permanent program. Could you describe how it's different and what you hope to learn over the next 6 months?
Yeah, we're really excited about this pilot program. It's in partnership with Clatsop Community Action, CCA. And this program, similar to the first one though, is to provide targeted utility billing assistance for income qualified households. This program will kind of serve as a test model to help evaluate community demand, administrative processes, understand what works well for both the applicants, the people applying for it, as well as those having to administrate it. And then also understanding what funding needs would be needed to stand up a program like this year long. It'll be a 6 month long pilot program starting right now when it got approved by council at the October 6th meeting and going to the end of March. And with a budget of $25,000 for disbursement, really the intent of this program is to, like I said, understand what the community impact is, what the need is for this kind of program, how many people might apply for it, what are the type of questions that might come up throughout this process, and also understand what the funding needs might be needed to fund a year-long program. Like I said, this one's $25,000 for 6 months, but we currently don't know what the full appetite might be for a year-round ones.
Could you give me an example of what assistance looks like under this pilot program?
Say this is a person that is a two-person household. And for a two-person household, we're averaging it being around $240. With that assistance being around roughly 10%, that's $23. So what they would see on their bill would say, you know, $240. Then they would see another line item that would say minus $23 or for that credit they were. And so what they would have to do is pay that remaining $217. Right. Yeah. So it's not a huge, substantial, like half, you know, of your utility bill. It is something that is consistent assistance is how I would phrase it.
What is the application process?
Through this pilot program, you're only going to have to apply once to be qualified for it. So you're actually not going to have to come in multiple times. We wanted to make sure it was a really easy process, especially since right now we're just getting a lot of information to understand how to stand something like this up. Yeah, so as I mentioned, we're partnering with CCA for them to handle the administration side of it. So how that might look would be someone would get in contact with CCA or, you know, go into their building and request to apply for this program, or even if you're there just seeking other assistance through many of the other programs they do, they might bring this up as something that could help you out. It's a pretty easy one and a half page application that would, you know, you put in what your utility information is, what your home address is. As I said, this one is income qualified as well. So CCA will be doing some income checks on you. So you would have to probably bring in your W-9, maybe some pay stubs, things like that. So really that all would go through CCA. We would get a list from CCA once a month that would then be the eligible people for this credit. And we would do a direct credit to your utility bill.
Should you wait until you feel like you're going to be in trouble with your bill to apply, or should you apply well in advance?
It's a rolling open application. So, I mean, if you're feeling stressed or if you're meeting the income qualification levels for this program, I would recommend applying right now, you know, just getting in the door and talking either to City of Astoria staff. We can help direct you to CCA or talking to CCA staff, and they'll be able to help guide you through the process.
With participation in the program based on lower incomes, city councilors had felt they might end up missing people who, even though they have higher incomes, still struggle to pay their utility bills. During this pilot period, they say even people who don't think they qualify now should apply for assistance. Could you talk about that?
To clearly say, the eligibility level for this is 30% or below of the Clatsop County area median income. That level had been set just because we're trying to understand what the full need is for everyone. With limited funding that this pilot program does have, we were worried that if we set it at, say, 60% AMI or something like that, the funds would disappear so fast that we wouldn't be able to really understand what the whole community need might be for something like this. And so by setting it at 30% AMI, we are recommending that even if you don't meet those eligibility numbers, please apply. Please reach out to CCA or city staff and let us know that, because, like I said, the whole point of this pilot program is trying to understand community need and understanding what it might take from a funding perspective when we have these discussions during next year's budget cycle to match community need.
That was Ryan Quigley with the City of Astoria. I'm Katie Frankowitz, reporting for KMUN.
An appeals court could decide Thursday whether to uphold or reverse an order banning National Guard troops in Portland. Dirk Vanderhart reports.
The 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals set oral arguments in the case for Thursday morning, but the court said it might act sooner, ruling on briefs submitted by both sides. At issue is an order handed down over the weekend that blocked the Trump administration from sending 200 Oregon National Guard troops into Portland. In that order, U.S. District Court Judge Karen Immergut found that nightly protests outside a Portland ICE facility had mostly been small. Immergut ruled the protests could be handled by local police and didn't merit guard intervention. The judge said the facts bear little resemblance to the war-torn image of the city Trump and his allies have presented. But the Trump administration argues protests have featured property damage and threatened the safety of federal officers. The U.S. Department of Justice says the demonstrations amount to a rebellion that meet the legal threshold for troop deployment. I'm Dirk Vanderhart reporting.
This is the third straight year of drought in the Yakima Basin. The Washington State Department of Ecology has issued an unprecedented halt to surface water use through the end of October. NWPB's senior correspondent Anna King has more.
Farmers are worried that as their soil dries out from the cutoff irrigation water, cold could creep in. Cold temperatures can damage the roots of plants like hops, blueberries, and alfalfa. Scott Ravel leads the Rosa Irrigation District in the Yakima Valley. He says some crops could have even worse damage.
Well, particularly for wine grapes and tree fruits, being able to fill the soil profile up with water makes it so that the plants can survive better if we get very cold temperatures in the winter, like single digits or even below.
By spring, Yakima Basin irrigators are hoping they'll get record rains to fill the reservoirs and a heavy snowpack. I'm Anna King.
Immigration policy changes are affecting farm worker families in the Northwest. Many are making plans in case they're separated and talking about how to stay together. NWPB's Johanna Bejarano and Yakima Herald Republic's Gloria Ibanez have this special report.
Alfredo Lelo Juarez Seferino's voice is no longer heard in Olympia. As a farm worker leader in Washington, he organized people campaigning in multiple languages for workers' rights.
I was detained, where I later asked for voluntary departure.
ICE agents arrested Juarez in Skagit County in March while he was driving his partner to work. He says he asked why he'd been pulled over and if there was a warrant. He says he didn't get answers and ended up spending months in the Northwest ICE Processing Center.
The chance of me getting out of here is pretty much zero because ICE can just say, nope, you're still going back to Mexico.
Lelo has opted for voluntary departure. It was a very difficult decision for him.
Juarez says that was his only option.
On the other side of the Cascade Mountains, Jamie Ortiz lives in the Yakima Valley. She's missing her husband, Jose, who was detained last month on his way to work in an orchard. She's sharing updates on social media.
Mira mi cara hinchada por llorando por tres semanas.
I'm going to lose my husband, she says, and she's been crying for weeks. But Ortiz says she'll keep her family together if he's deported and go back to Mexico.
Laura Contreras is an attorney with the Northwest Immigrant Rights Project. She says immigration enforcement today is
more blatant, and it's more cruel and evil. In my opinion, it's just very unjust. So it's very different. And things just happen so fast.
According to the Deportation Data Project, ICE arrests in Washington doubled from May to June this year, jumping from close to 150 to nearly 300.
Many of the individuals from our communities that are being detained have no criminal records. They've lived here, some of them, almost for decades.
Some, like the Juarez family, are making drastic decisions.
We did not want my sibling to get put through that trauma of family separation. So we made the decision that my parents should leave the U.S.
David Morales is with the Yakima Immigration Response Network. He says families are making plans just in case.
The vast majority of people are sort of in denial that it's going to happen to them until they see it happen to loved ones or until it's actually happening to them and then they realize, I need to get a plan together for my family.
There are organizations helping with emergency plans for a lot of scenarios, like legal protections for children in case something happens to their parents. Danielle Surkati also volunteers with the Yakima Immigration Response Network.
I see you. I see what's happening to you. I'm here because I don't think it's right, but I'm here to support you. Even though I'm behind a fence and you're in chain, you know, handcuffs and shackles, getting on a plane, being deported, but still I see you.
Nationwide, more than 142,000 people have been arrested by ICE this year, according to the Deportation Data Project. I'm Johanna Bejarano.
And I am Gloria Ibanez.
You're listening to KMUN. Ahead of Washington's November general election, a candidates forum was held last Wednesday at the Ocean Park Fire Hall. Incumbent Port of Peninsula Commissioner Bill Darien is facing a challenge for his seat from John Oakes. Darian has served on the Port of Peninsula Commission since 2018 and also co-owns Mermaid Inn and RV Park in Long Beach. He argued that in his tenure, the port has been able to reduce taxes while supporting tourism, shellfish growers, and commercial and recreational fishermen. Darian also said that lowering or even outright eliminating port property taxes would be his top priority if reelected to another six-year term. Oakes said he's running for the position because of what he says is a lack of transparency, accessibility, and accountability from the board, and he argued that the Port of Peninsula is not currently financially fit. Oakes co-owned a commercial fishing business for more than four decades and also owns a small cranberry farm. If elected, he said his top priority would be to improve transparency for users and taxpayers. The forum last week also featured two candidates competing for a seat on the Port of Ilwaco Commission. Incumbent Butch Smith has served on the Ports Commission since 2014 and as chair since 2019. Smith emphasized his experience in the fishing industry and the relationships he's forged at the state and federal level. Challenger Guy Glenn Jr. served as manager of the Port of Ilwaco from 2013 to 2021 and has most recently been executive finance manager for the Port of Columbia County. Glenn Jr. argued that the Port of Ilwaco has been financially mismanaged and lacked a clear vision for the future during Smith's time on the commission. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Chinook Observer. Read more online at chinookobserver.com. And one street closure in Astoria to be aware of during the day tomorrow. City Public Works will be conducting a water service repair on Lexington Avenue between 3rd Street and 4th Street. The closure is expected to last from 8:30 a.m. tomorrow morning until about 4 p.m. Public access to that area of Lexington will be limited to residences only. You're listening to KMUN News. If you have a news tip or story idea, get in touch. Email us at news1@kmun.org. That's news, the numeral 1, at kmun.org. Local and regional news on KMUN is brought to you by our news partners and the KMUN news team that includes me, your host, Skylar Butenchin, and news director, Katie Frankowitz. Our news broadcasts air Monday through Thursday, beginning at 7:59 in the morning and 4:59 in the evening. Thanks for tuning in to KMUN.